All right, great to have everybody back with us on this Saturday night talking baseball. Boy, Nation's Giant Hamburgers and Pies, there is nothing better. It is strawberry season. And, of course, the new location is up in Sacramento in the Natomas area. Check it out. We had Grant Power on, the president CEO of Nation's last week. And things are going well at Nation's, and you can order. There's takeout and things like that, and all sorts of delivery options for you. But nothing better than the Nation's breakfast and hamburgers. And then top it off with the strawberry pie. It's only during the height of strawberry season, which is right now. So absolutely check it out, Nation's Giant Hamburgers and Pies. All right. Joining us, and really one of the leading sports reporters, sports personalities, sports entertainers, I think, in the country when you hear his story. And Bruce Jenkins did a couple of very nice columns in the San Francisco Chronicle about Barry Tompkins over the last month or so, celebrating his 80th birthday. And it's hard to believe, but it gave everyone a good chance to reflect with Barry on his career and some of the people he got to meet. And I said to Bruce and to Barry, I said, boy, you guys got to come on the show and talk about this. And Bruce talked about you last week. And we have Barry Tompkins with us this week. So, Barry, thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Marty. I always enjoy being with you. And I just want to say that that whole piece and what Bruce did, I mean, I can't tell you how, you know, it was really such a nice thing, but it also speaks to how slow sports news is these days. You know?
Well, it's a heck of a story, no matter what. And just you know, for the fans who don't know some of your background, you know, you've been part of the Bay Area sports scene for so many years, going back to the beginning of college, living here, your parents, and everything else. Give us a little bit of the background, and then we'll talk about how you got further into the career.
Sure. Well, I was born and raised in San Francisco. I'm a real homeboy, and I went to Washington High School in San Francisco, and, you know, I graduated, you know, I always kid about George himself sat next to me in English class, you know, but I still have a ton of friends, even just high school friends in the Bay Area. So to me, San Francisco has always been kind of towny because I was born and raised here. And so I've really been lucky in my career in that I've only lived either here in San Francisco or in New York. And that was only for 6 years. So, you know, I really feel a part of the fabric of this community. And I was lucky enough to start out at KCBS Radio, and I know you remember Don Klein. He just passed last year, but he was my, you know, if it weren't for him, I have no idea what I'd be doing now, Marty, honestly. And so Don Klein was my rabbi, as they say, and he got me into the industry, and he was the one who really kickstarted my career. And I wound up at KPIX for 7 years, and that was just a complete fluke. It's a long story, which I won't get into right now, but suffice to say, my first night on television in the Bay Area, in the fifth biggest market in the country, was the first time I'd ever been inside a television studio. So I didn't know which end of the camera you looked through. So, you know, I feel really blessed and really lucky to have done what I've done in my career and lived always where I've wanted to live. So, you know, it's something I never could have imagined, to be really honest.
Well, it's amazing. Barry Tompkins, a long career, as he will tell us here. And, you know, the thing is, it's how many sports that you've done. And we know you started with KCBS. I remember when I first came to the Bay Area, 1972, I think it was KPIX. I think that's where I saw
you. That's right. Yeah.
At that point.
I started at KCBS in 1966, and I went to KPIX in January of 1968. And I was there until end of 73, actually a little bit into 74. And then I went to New York to NBC.
Do you ever think about how many sports you've done? Because when I think of you, I could see you at ringside. I could see you at football. I could see you at baseball. I mean, you could see you the Olympics. I mean, you could see you all over. How many have you done?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I don't remember if Jenks wrote this or not, but there was Sports Illustrated did a calendar 1 year, and for every week of the calendar, they had a sport. And at that time, I think I had done 47 of the 52. So, you know, I mean, some of them were one-time things, you know, at the Olympic Games. I had to go do a field hockey game one time. I'd never even seen the sport. And I had to go out and do the gold medal game, as a matter of fact. I've done one hockey game in my life. So some of them, I can't say I had a long career doing them, but I've always been, I'm sure that I probably was ADD when I was a kid, there was no such thing as ADD, so it was undiagnosed. But I have, you know, I need to be doing different things all the time, and especially the older I get and the longer my career goes on, I find the more I want to do different things, because every sport has its own language. Every sport obviously has its own rules. Every sport has its own tempo. And so it's like staying fresh all the time. You have to think all the time. And I never get into that situation where I start to do things by rote, because I've always done a lot of different sports. You know, to be honest, that's why I did 1 year of baseball with the Giants. They asked me to do 50 games in 1993. And about 30 games in, and they were really good. If you recall, that was a terrific year for them. They won 103 games, and it was Barry Bonds' first year. And about 30 games in, I was asking Hank Greenwald, what's next? You know, how do you do this for 162 games? I can't imagine doing that. You know, so that's just me, you know, and I've always liked doing different things. And I really believe that's what has allowed me to have as long a career as I've had.
Well, when I think of you, Barry Tompkins, sometimes I think of boxing and, you know, being ringside and, you know, the huge fights. And I know you're at the fight at the Orange Bowl. And, of course, I grew up in Miami Beach and I know the Orange Bowl well. And it was, I think, Pryor Arguello was a huge fight.
Yeah, that was the best fight I've ever done. I mean, not in terms of how big a fight it was, but what an exciting fight it was.
Tell me about doing your first boxing match. You know, I guess the thing that strikes me about, you know, 48 out of 50 sports, whatever it may be, is that you're being asked to do a sport that you may know nothing about. How do you even prepare for something like that?
You know, it's interesting, and I always equated it to being a teacher, you know, where you have to be just a little bit smarter than the smartest kid in the class. Yeah, and that's what that's how I prepared. You know, I just want to know a little bit more than maybe the most savvy fan that's listening to me. And you know, the truth of the matter is, and I tell this to people, and because I get asked that question a lot, but the truth is, I don't really have to understand the nuance of the sport, because I always have a color commentator with me who played the sport and was proficient at the sport. So all I really needed to do, and I'm stripping this down to its barest, is know the language of the sport. You know, I couldn't do a tennis tournament and say it's 6-0, you know. So know the language of the sport and know the rules, you know, and know who's in game, who's playing. But beyond that, and, you know, obviously, whatever the sport is, if it's a time sport, I've always said this too, a race is a race. And it doesn't matter if it's cars, skiers, runners, a race is a race. It's a clock sport. And so basically the call is the same on all of them. You know, you're basically watching the clock. And other sports, you just have to, I can tell when a goal is, whether it's in soccer or hockey or field hockey, you know. So I don't have to be an expert. I always have an expert with me. So it's just a question of, as I said, trying to be maybe one step ahead of the class.
Being a good point guard.
Be a good distributor, you know.
Yeah, setting up the expert. No, I agree with you. I understand that completely. But you did have a musical career, which is a fascinating story that Bruce wrote about that involved the brother Johnny Mathis and the group called the Embers, and you actually played the Apollo in New York. Come on. How about that?
Yeah, we did. It was, you know, that was I told Bruce this too, and he was nice enough not to write it, but I'll tell you too. The truth of the matter is we weren't very good, you know. And a matter of fact, I always tell a story that we used to, it started in high school, and Ralph Mathis was Johnny Mathis' brother. He was a classmate of mine. And so it was just Ralph and I and two other friends. And we started singing we were all on a track team, and we started singing in the showers after track practice, you know. And, of course, in the showers echo, and three-part harmony or four-part harmony sounds pretty good in the shower, you know. and really, that's how it started. And then we used to go to a lot of these talent contests and all that sort of stuff, which there was a lot of in the Bay Area at the time. And, you know, we did pretty well in a few of them, but there used to be one at St. Benedict's Church on Bush Street in San Francisco. And there were, it was not far from the Fillmore District, and there were probably, I'd say, five or six quartets just at that talent show that were better than we ever were or ever could have been. But we had the name Mathis in our group, and we didn't try to exploit that, but, you know, to be perfectly honest, that's why we got a lot of the bookings that we got. And I'm sure, even though we did have a record that did okay, I'm sure it was the name Mathis that got us to the Apollo Theater and not what great talents we were. You know?
Well, you guys, and do you ever hear the record? Do you listen to it at all?
Yeah, I mean, it was so simple, and, you know, but those were the days of simplicity, you know what I mean? I mean, all of, you know, rhythm and blues and early, you know, rockabilly and that sort of stuff was three, you know, it was basic three chords, you know, it was blues chord progression, no matter what the beat was, no matter what the tempo was. And our harmony was basic thirds for the most part. We didn't do anything really fancy. Any three musicians anywhere could do what we did, you know. And so it wasn't very sophisticated. It wasn't very, you know, wasn't very good. It was just okay, you know.
Well,
and,
you did it. You know, you did it.
Yeah, we did it. You know, I couldn't read music. I could sight read a little bit, but I didn't play an instrument at all, you know. And it was fun. I mean, I have to say it was a real experience. And I didn't go to college. And frankly, being on the road with our group for 3.5 years was my college. And Believe me when I tell you, it was a pretty good education. Being
amazing.
With
what a life.
Group in
what,
the
a, 50s. What a career. Barry Tompkins, really. I'm glad Bruce Jenkins wrote those articles, and I'm glad we can have you on to expand on them a little bit. But you did have a connection with Willie Mays, which is exceptional as well.
Yeah, you know, he just kind of, what I always say is he just adopted me. And I think it's probably because I was young and stupid and didn't know any better, you know. And, yeah, I think what it was like, you know how it is, Marty, you get into, I got into this business because I was a huge fan, you know, like you, I grew up, I was a Dodger guy because other than my parents, my whole family lived in Brooklyn and I used to go to Brooklyn every summer. So I grew up a Dodger fan. I was a huge fan, you know, I was a huge Jackie Robinson guy, you know, and so that's one of the reasons I got into sports in the first place. But then when you start doing it, you have to stop being a fan when you start doing it on a national basis. Now, you can do local and be a fan. You can be partial. But since I've been working for networks, which has been 40 years now, I can't show any kind of partiality. And so the truth of the matter is, I really haven't cared who's won any game or fight or anything that I've done in 40 years. I really haven't. But when I first met Willie Mays, obviously I was awestruck. You know, I mean, this was a guy I thought was the greatest player I'd ever seen. I still do think that. And, you know, so I wasn't about to just go walking up to Willie Mays and say, "Hey, Willie, would you do this interview with me?" You know, yeah. And, you know, that's kind of how I sounded at that time, too. So I really kind of just stayed away, but made sure that he saw me. You know, and then when I finally did go over to him and say, can I do this with you? Would you mind talking with me for a few minutes? And for whatever reason, he just kind of took me under his wing. And even that first time he said, I'll tell you what, meet me up by the clubhouse in like 15 minutes. And I walked up, remember at Candlestick Park where the clubhouse was up the right field line. And I walked up the right field line by the clubhouse doors. And 15 minutes later, he walked out the clubhouse door and said, okay, let's go. And, you know, from that point, it was as much friendship as it was, a professional relationship. He used to invite me down to his house. And because I grew up with the Pacific Coast League watching the San Francisco Seals, you know, there were there were African-American players playing in the Pacific Coast League when they weren't playing in the major leagues. And so I knew a lot of those guys. I mean, not personally knew them, but I was like, there was a guy named Piper Davis, mm-hmm. who John Shea writes about in his book about Willie Mays. And Piper Davis was like my hero growing up. You know, he played for the Hollywood Stars. And so when I went to Willie Mays' house, he had pictures of some of the Negro League teams that he played on. And so I'm looking at the pictures in his pool room, and there's Piper Davis, you know. So I started asking him about Piper Davis, and I started asking him about Artie Wilson and all these guys that played in the Coast League when I was a kid, you know. And so I think that kind of endeared me to him for whatever reason. And I, you know, I made a point of never asking him for anything that was that, you know, that I really didn't need. I wouldn't just go talk to him because, hey, he's Willie Mays, so I'm going to put an interview with him on the air, you know? And so I don't know, like I said, my answer to the question is that he just kind of adopted me. And then through the years, when I started doing boxing, he had a deal for a long time with Bally's Resorts. And so he would come to the fights and, you know, and again, be the, you know, he was a meet and greet kind of guy for Bally's. This was long after his baseball career. And so we would get together on the road, you know, and have dinner or just hang out or whatever. You know, it was very hard for him, obviously, to really be out in public without people being all over him. So he was a pretty private guy. So I feel so privileged. And I think the biggest reason for it is I was young and stupid and I didn't ask anything of him.
Well, you have a great, great personality, great sense of justice, and you are an entertainer, and you know when to ask a question, when not, and when to let the person do the talking. And you've done a great job. You're an icon. You are an icon, Barry Tompkins. You are. I must tell you, and it's a great, great career you've gotten. You've still got going at full speed, and it's great to have you on. We could do more. We have to stop at some point, but I'd love to hear the Raiders stories.
I know, I completely understand. One of these days we'll talk about the old Dodgers.
Well, the Raiders. I'd like to hear the Raiders stories, too.
Oh, the Raiders. I spent more time with them than my liver cares to remember.
Amazing. Really amazing. And really, you and your wife, Joan Ryan, who we've had on the show tonight with her book, Intangibles, you guys are quite a couple in the Bay Area. So
She's the icon, Marty.
I love having you on. And you and I have done a couple of TV shows together over at Comcast,
yep.
I know, over the years.
Yep.
And it's
yep.
always a pleasure to work with you. When I know you're on, I know it's going to be fun. Let's put it that way.
Well, I appreciate it. And that goes two ways. I'm a Marty Lurie fan.
Wonderful. Barry, thank you so much for coming on. We'll do this again. We will. Very
Always
good.
Always a pleasure, Marty.
All right. That is Barry Tompkins. Boy, what a story. And if you missed it in the San Francisco Chronicle, go to SF Chronicle. SanFranciscoChronicle.com, sports section, and Bruce Jenkins has got those archived there. Very, very good articles. All right, more coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.